coming back. We appreciate that. Other than members being able to ensure that we can keep to the timelines and proceed with tomorrow's meeting, we must go now to the findings. So our approach would be that the drafters are here, that we note the different findings and try to build consensus around it. Of course, if there's maybe differences tomorrow in the report, we will try to build consensus into the findings. Of course, if there's differences, we'll deal with that tomorrow morning. But the aim is to make findings of the salient points that we discussed when we dealt with the observations. So that's going to be our approach. And so members, the floor is open. Can we then get input from the honourable members?
Are we going through that list?
Yes. I mean, remember the whole day we spent with the observations, so and of course the observations will flow from, our findings will flow from the observations. So, Honourable Ramphikhani, you're welcome. Thank you, sir.
I don't know, Chair, whether I should start, whether there was any other suggestion of how we handle it.
No, there's no other suggestion, I think, so you can go in.
Okay. Chair, so the Chair, you would understand that I'll rattle through some of what I think is the findings, and then of course as you say, that we'll discuss the report tomorrow, then those that are writing six meeting six. If I start, and I take it, we start with the minister and the ED as the first part. And Chair, in relation to the minister and I think the first finding is the simple one, that there was a common cause that the contract, we find that the contract was for 5 years. Was entered into 2014 to end or to expire in February 2019. That the findings is that as well, that there is, in fact, we do find that there is no security clearance. That is valid, although it's been granted differently, and that find that there are serious allegations that are submitted to public protector for investigation, that we find that there is a relationship, there is a breakdown of trust in terms of relationship between the ED and the minister. We also find that in terms of the public service investigation, that there is a issue about abuse of power and authority. And that there is a failure by the parties in this context, both minister and the ED, to sign the performance agreement, and that equally there was also a failure to undertake. And that's the assessment, the normal assessment, or that goes with whether the department or the CD has performed in terms of KPIs. That the continuing that, because it's interchangeably, that we find as well that there was the issue of the harassment is confirmed by is confirmed by the Public Service Commission investigation that one, that the policy, transfer policy of IFET, including the Act, was violated, and of course the provision of Section 33(1) of the Constitution, again that collaboratively the issue of security clearance was in fact collaborated, it's not valid by SSA, the Minister and ED separately. We find that the DEPSA directives on the evaluation was not adhered to, that the allegation by the Mr. Ngabinde is further subjected to the public protector and others, there may well be others that for him to face thereafter, and that the allegation, these are allegations which is not yet a conclusive findings or the judgment at this stage that around that area. That's on the minister part. I don't know whether I should continue with my, or I should pause here for two.
I think, unless these other members, let's continue. Honorable Bede, let's hear you. Thanks, Chair. Assuming that we're just dealing with points 2 and 3 on the list, the minister's submission and the ED's response, I think a large chunk of the points that Honorable Ramakagane just mentioned were observations that had come up in the last round. I do want to contest and voice my disagreements with the suggestion of a finding of an abuse of power in relation to the Public Service Commission letter, because that is not a phrase or a term that is found in the four-page reports. There are other terms used around absence of consultation or the transfer being irregular, unprocedural withdrawal of the clearance of the complainants, but the term abuse of power is not contained, of as well as the finding of harassment, but there's no finding of using the term abuse of power. So I would contend that has no grounds. And the findings for the committee that I would like to table for the record, and I'll do it in such a way that it flows from an observation, just so that we're maintaining the link from what we did last round to what we're doing now. So flowing from the observation, which I believe was accepted by the committee, or at least there was no clear objection, from the observation that the submission by the minister of his reasons against the contract renewal are allegations, I would propose that the finding of the committee is that these reasons of allegation do not help the committee to conclusively say at this moment that there are compelling and substantive reasons not to renew the ED's contract. Secondly, I would like to propose a committee finding that the Public Service Commission's report does not detail practice that is egregious enough to warrant grounds for non-renewal as a proportionate sanction, and that thirdly, flowing from the observation of the legal action undertaken by the ED through IPID as the institution to make the finding that Mr. McBride has demonstrated commitment to protecting and promoting the independence and effectiveness of the IPID during his term. So those are my three proposed committee findings, Chair.
Right, Honourable Finance, response?
I don't know the procedure, Chair, whether we're going to go along the contesting the views. If it is so, I think the Honourable Bella has jumped the gun by the fact that there is a finding that the findings by the Public Service Commission does not warrant the renewal of the contract. I think it's left us behind. We are not even there yet. I suspect that we were dealing with one section, and then until we get to anything else, because I do think that at the moment, maybe I'll listen to your ruling. That part, I should think that we should not even start getting into it before we do the 20 other items. That may lead us to whatever conclusion. Because, it's a reversal, starting in a reverse. Because I don't know whether it's the only measure that is applied in this case by Honorable Bele to make reference to the fact that this was a really small thing that does not warrant the renewal. I would not have an issue if we want to use the language used in the letter as in capturing, because the harassment and everything else is in that very same letter that has been quoted. If there's a problem about using abuse of power, we can use the same language that is used by the Commission. But net effect, it's exactly the same thing. So I don't have a problem with that, Chair, if we want to try and reach out to find the same middle language. But the one I contest is the one so that the same way. But otherwise, I don't like it. We can agree that let's use the public because the result is the same.
Right. Thank you. I think we accept in that issue of the language that we try to stick to the relevant documents wording as far as possible. I think that's a fair point. I think maybe in terms of the findings, of course, I don't want to have a situation where we're going through both now at this stage. So maybe let's just note the findings of the various proposals, and I think at the end of that come to a collective discussion on that so that the drafters have a direction. Would that be fine? Or do you want to discuss each and every it's a view, opposing view at this stage.
Did you
colleagues, Honourable Markey?
I think I agree with you.
So let's tabulate the different findings from the various colleagues in terms of the various topics, and at the end we have a collective discussion to give direction to the drafters. Is that fine? Colleagues, I don't know if there's anything else in terms of 6.2 and 6.3.
So, yeah, Chair, maybe if that's the direction that we're giving, it means that the proposal as the finding, the Honourable Bele, it's held, it's kept in abeyance, it's not necessarily part of that. Because if it is part of that, we'll obviously have to respond to it. So I don't know. where that takes us. I think we need to have a clarity, because if we pass that without having absolute clarity, it may create an impression that we agree to it as part of the basket of the findings.
I think I do take the point that the call it the evaluation and waiting to reach a conclusion can be part of that discussion at the end once we table findings. So I'm happy to reserve that particular exercise concerning the PSC finding in abeyance until then. And then the other two proposed findings will stand for now.
Thank you, colleagues. We note then those findings, and we'll at the end come to then a collective approach and how to advise the draft is what will be taken forward. Right, colleagues, that deals with 6.3, 6.2 and 6.3. Is there anything on that? Any other thing else? Can we then move to 6.4, the item act? Honourable Ramatakani.
On this one, I think that it is fair to say that there is a finding, the committee is finding that in the current Act there is a grey area within the Act, and of course the iPad stands currently, and that the iPad does not make I think the point that was made earlier by Honorable Baird, and that was not made explicit, but it doesn't have explicit provision for what must happen in the event that the contract has to be renewed. And that, therefore, the third point in terms of finding, we find that there is a need for that realignment because it's not aligned to the current. If you like, the situation including, if you like, the kind of constitutional court judgment around the terms and how many terms and so on. So I think that is not including the finding. And that perhaps the finding, next finding, that there is a need to the finding that the constitutional court provision that judgment has to be factored into the lack of factoring into the law means that it has to be factored into the new law. That would be my take on that.
Thanks for that. The agreement with that approach? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, the argument is sound. It's just a carriage seeking question going forward. Is there going to be a differentiation in the reports later between the findings and the recommendations that we then make flowing from the findings? Because, for example, the notion that the IPED Act will need to be further amended to clarify the renewal issue would then be a recommendation flowing from the finding of the grey area.
Did you see the findings? Robert O'Connor, would you be on that?
I think because we have, there's a finding that there's a problem, I think there should be a recommendation that the IPED at the 6th Parliament should look at that particular as a recommendation. Whether the 6th Parliament take that on board or something else, but in terms of what we see, there is a need for that to happen. So I think we can agree that there should be a recommendation on that particular aspect.
That then deals with 6.4. If we then can go to 6.5, the appointment letter that was also discussed as part of the observations. Thank you very much. Honourable Robert Lacone.
On this appointment letter, I think the finding is that there was the appointment letter signed by both parties in this case, referring to So there was a counter situation on that. And that the second thing that there's a finding in that is that the couching of the letter had an obligation for performing agreement that must be signed, as well as ensuring that there is a security clearance. That's the two specific parts that I think we have spoken about. And then I think that there's a findings as well that the EG we didn't disagree with that kind of requirement, which is in terms of the Public Service Act. So that finding is also there.
Thank you. Other colleagues on the appointment letter? I think there is consensus on that. Discuss that at length. Colleagues, can we then move to 6.6, the performance agreement? Honourable Ramadan Khanis.
Chair, on this one, I think we did an observation, made an observation that that there was a problem with the performance, signed performance. That again, the signed documents were not in order. That's our finding, and this is not only attribution to the ED, both parties, that they haven't found time to actually sign those documents that were necessary for signature, so they didn't exist. That the whole issue about the in terms of performance agreement that the Public Service and Administration had intervention in terms of what must happen to correct all the wrong things. So the finding is that was really not done in the period that we speak about. That we must, I think, be fair as well, that in that context we must be able to isolate that the only minister that was able to sign the performance agreement was Minister Mbabula. That's a finding which is on the document that you can speak to. That will be for me the kind of four pointers if I remember what you spoke about earlier.
Thank you very much. Any other colleagues on this issue? I think there's agreement on that. Is honourable
Chair, if you don't mind me taking us back one or two steps. I'm sorry, my brain is chugging along at a slightly slower rate than normally would be the case. I would just like to propose a it's a finding. A finding in relation to the appointment letter, because it does link to the ED's September and November correspondence from last year, which we all agreed flowed from the time frame and the implications of the appointment letter. I think it would be amiss not to make the finding that given that the ED had made the initial approach 5 months, I think it was said, before the expiry of the term, that the committee makes the finding that the minister could have been more responsive to that approach, which would have greatly aided matters had a selection process then been able to get underway sooner. That's my proposal.
That's the proposal back on the issue of the appointment letter, Honourable Ramadan Khanis.
Should we, maybe we'll see with the final wording, but should we not, because the findings, maybe shorten that finding, I think that the shortening of, I think we should say along the line, but we should say the committee finds that for between the initial letter of the inquiry about the state of the contract, time lapse between that and the response. I think that would be fair rather than to make another judgment call. So I would think that maybe we can modify it that way. It's accepted because it's effect is on paper.
Perhaps if I can take a swing at it to recommit or to propose a committee finding that
to think back. I'm not actually sure how many ministers he served under. Was it three or four? Four ministers in 4 years, because he was chucked out for one of them. So in a four-year period, I think it was a time of extreme flux and change within the SACs. And if administrative issues were not dealt with from the ministry side, it was because there was a revolving door ministry. They were in and out and in and out in a matter of no time at all. So that I think it needs to be made clear that the achievements in and the success rates in the work that the IFAC did was done in the most extreme circumstances, which included their illegal removal and a person from crime intelligence coming through that whole period when their entire systems were destroyed and had to be rebuilt from almost scratch. So I think that it can't be seen to be a negative on his side when in fact the ministry itself was in a state of, as I say, extreme flux.
I don't want to start the debate, but I mean, you can deal with that in the observations, but you know, that is maybe the dilemma.
I think it can be included that the changing of ministers might have had an effect. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Is that under performance?
The problem with that is that we haven't tested that view with each one of those that were in the position. I think the fact that we're finding what not necessarily going into individual ministers are also bound by the regulation applicable to. So they were all duty bound to all follow the normal assessment process that is to be followed by all. So whether there was a minister changing from one portfolio to the other is the net effect of exonerating functional areas from all the executing authorities. So I think the statement that in the last 4 years that they didn't do it suffices.
Also under performance assessment, I think it should be noted that of the three previous ministers, there was no lodging of any reference to issues that they at any stage had with this person as the head of the IFAC. It's only now the fourth minister who now has a problem. But the previous three had no issues with him that we've seen any reference to.
That's going to be factually a bit not correct. I remember on the Mekleku's issue with the executive director. So there's two ministers.
Oh, he is the one.
Yeah, so we don't have that information before, so it's going to be very difficult, I think, just from a processing point of view, to make that statement. I mean, we don't got in front of us. There might have been issues, but we don't got any proof of that. That's the dilemma. So when we make findings, it must be in the papers or issues that we discussed. But it's going to be very difficult to make that statement, to say there was no issues. We don't know. My guess is as good as yours. Honorable Ramakrishna.
Okay, on this one, we have to rely on the Minister's daughter's letter. Because the Minister's daughter's letter down to 14, 15, 16, 17, all the years that where the assessment has not been done, it should be done. So in that way, I think we're covered. We're not using something that is not before us. I would think that it's better that way.
Yeah.
Well, it's the dilemma, yeah, with speculating is a risk for our report in terms of process. I think the indication in the letter of the Minister of Public Administration, which indicates that for those periods there was no assessment, I think.
What I'm wanting to know now, in the way it's going to be phrased, you can do it two ways. You can say it is the ED's fault that no assessments were done, or you can say it's the ministers who didn't sign off on the assessments as they revolved through the doors. So the way you put it in this report will apportion blame. That's what I'm looking to.
I think the proposal from the Honourable Member was that we go to note both of these situations, both the fact that the executive authority didn't adhere to that and also indicate the executive direct. I think that was the proposal, but the Honourable Ramakani was himself.
No, Chair. Well, earlier when we talked about this issue, I think maybe we went back two steps. We did say that the signing off of the performance agreement, it requires both parties to sit around the table and sign. So it is not legal when one party signs it and then it becomes law. So here what we're saying, we found that this compliance, there was non-adherence to that particular regulation where the performance agreement has to be signed. That's why the letter of the minister also becomes important. Because that letter says, I understand there was a failure to meet the deadline, but I also understand that there was a suspension. In that case, there was a waiver. Do comply with it. Do it. Now that I'm giving you the waiver to do it. So that's, I think, the point that we mentioned, that the letter is useful if we were to use that letter that shows that there was a non-compliance or non-adherence, maybe.
Members, can we move ahead? Thank you. If we finish then with performance assessments, can we go to 6.8, the AG reports and AG notes? 6.8.
I think the findings here, we should have a finding that ARCAD did receive unqualified audit. Of course, we also say that in the one we talked earlier on, we said it was unqualified with the finding or the key findings, which the AG and ourselves have been raising as a problem, including that the key findings. So we should say it was unqualified, but it was not a clean report. Unqualified report with matters that we identified or the findings on it. I think that's fair to reflect, because that reflects on the AG as well.
Thank you for that. Members, that.
In those AG reports, as they came to the committee, there were reports on how many convictions, how many what the milestones were, and how they were either increasing or decreasing as the years went by. But I think it needs to be noted that the arrest rates, the conviction rates, all of the things that I was supposed to do did indeed go up as detailed in those notes, because that was detailed in the AG reports as presented to us. So it would speak to the investigations and procurement, the 24 systemic corruption investigations, the establishment of various specialized units, and then the number of referrals to the DPP, although we don't have, of course, the outcome the outcomes from that side because we just don't get them. But that went up quite massively into the thousands. So I think those as referred to by the Auditor General should be highlighted.
What's a specific finding? Say for instance, if you say convictions went up, what's the categories in terms of the items action for what years? Remember there's 5 years under review, so we must be specific.
Yeah.
If we make that, because our report will be tested in terms of the accuracy, and so it must be a specific finding, say, that's what I'm looking for. Thanks.
Chair, I didn't want to take up time. I mean, I can sit and read out all the findings as details per year, but it's in the papers, but I think it should be put under that section as because it was all reported by the Auditor General, and the outcomes and then the comparisons of how over those years the arrest rate went up, the referral to the Director of Public Prosecutions went up, etc. It's all detailed there. So I think it's a clear indication of the way in which the IPID was moving. You know, it wasn't going downhill, the successes were going uphill. So I think it's only right to reflect that.
Thank you. Honourable Ramatakane.
No, Chair, I think we passed the performance and the performance assessment section. I thought we were dealing with the AG report. But I think AG here we're dealing with what we talked earlier on about what our observations were. And if we want to set that as part of the top of performance of 6.6, the difficulty that we're going to have is the fact that we do say that performance agreement with key performance areas were not signed, were not finalized. So the measurement that we're going to measure based on what? Because there were no, all parties agree that there was no document that said this. So the issue about what the arrest and that is part of the work that every head of the IPED has to do based on the act. So we can't simply just attribute it that as a success because it's on basis on what. So that's where my difficulty is that I thought that we settled for those 4 points that we found that there was not of this and we allocated both with the response. The say that both the minister and the ED on this case. So if we want to go on listing, maybe what the best way to do on that issue, we could then reference it to our report, because our report, the triple R report, captured all our views in it. So that if the fear is that we're not going to take that into account, we can then say, we can refer the writer to our report to say, in terms of our regular report, which is, because we are citing those reports anyway. But my difficulty is that we're not going to have a finding that we're agreed on, which lists what is called achievement, without having, because of the weakness of 6.7 and 6.6. That's the...
Yeah, I disagree completely. These successes were reported to the committee over and over and over. So they're not fabrications. They were interrogated by us in committee, and also the Auditor General is there to audit claims of achievement. And they go through and they very carefully check every claim. They check every part of it. That's their job. So it's not for us now to query what the Auditor General is claiming or to query the presentations made to us in the committee, which perhaps were not queried at the time. To now say we can't believe them because someone didn't sign some performance agreement I think is just wrong on every single level. It's very easy to look in the annual reports and say, okay, they made these arrests in this year, that or those arrests in the next year, those referrals to the DCP in that year. It's very simple to do, and it's not a huge job, but I think the least we can do is show that there was an enormous amount of work being done, as opposed to just chucking it out because some minister didn't sign a form.
Honourable Libatsi and Honourable Mabija.
Okay, thank you. I thought we are talking about the findings we derived them from the observations, and specifically the observations that we alluded to. I thought that is where we are now. And the committee report will fall. Thanks.
Honourable Mabija. Yeah, I mean, let's see. Honourable Karabana, is there a specific, proposal that you're making in terms of performance, in terms of observation? Then we'll park it along with the others, and of course, when we go to the broader discussion,
yes,
all will be made.
I think they absolutely must be highlighted that, all right, if we look at the money, all right, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Where three investigations of procurement fraud involved 106 million rand. So that's 106 million they saved that was being stolen. Okay, that's systemic corruption. Let's look further up here. Yeah. Tender fraud, arrests of three generals and a brigadier, 86 million. High-level investigation into corruption, arrests made 5 billion. And so it goes. So it's very easy to detail and say, okay, in those 4 years of his tenure, this is the amount that has been saved through criminal investigations into tax members. I think that's very easy to do.
Honourable Robert Lacani.
The challenge is that the exercise we didn't do. That's an exercise that Honourable Colabana wants us to do now when we're dealing with the findings. We didn't do that exercise.
It's in the papers that we were presented with. I'm reading directly from the papers as given to us. We've all got them, we've all read them, we all know them.
Just order, please. Thank you. Let's take one by one. Honourable Robert Akane, then Honourable Mula, then Honourable Bija. Thank you.
Can I just get protection from you, Chair? Because I thought I was still talking until I was rudely interjected. The point that I was making here, we were really talking about Auditor General 6.8, and we made a point about 6.8, what is our findings in relation to the Auditor General's report. We did say unqualified, and we did say finding that there have been those matters of emphasis or that has been part of that. Right? So we are now in a big discussion about what is individual views about what has been the performance. And no one from our side here has made an point that the iPad didn't do work. We didn't say anything that the executive director was sleeping at all. We didn't do that, make that point. But we recognize that he was employed to do the job in terms of the act. And that's the job that he was doing. Anything extraordinary that was supposed to be flagged up should have been informed by the assessment, which is the one that we have been talking about, that it didn't happen, it's not his fault, it's fault of everyone, okay, except that. But the difficulty that we're going to have with that formulation, it's incorrect. By all standards. How do you determine there must be a baseline for you to determine the success. If there has not been that baseline in terms of it, then we can't say that. But I think maybe we can say that, I don't know, the findings that we are not claiming that IPED didn't work. I don't, it must not be misunderstood nor quoted wrongly. All what we are saying is that this has been the challenges that we have, and this is the AG finding. Now we will go into the committee report. Then we can talk about whatever we want to talk about in the committee report, but we can't be forced to list that in the under AG findings.
Honourable Mullah, you wanted to come in? Recover?
Yes, Chairperson. Here we are talking about the auditor's general report, not the successes and everything. And we didn't deliver it in all the successes. Yes, it is in the paper, but we didn't. He didn't raise it. Why now? Let's talk about all the things that we said in the morning, not the new things.
No, no, Bija, thank you. We'll...
I should think, as members of this committee, Chairperson, we need to desist from trying to chip in some other things that we did never ever discuss about, because now we are derailing the whole process. We want this process to proceed. As I said, the proceeding is very, very well. Now, we do not want ourselves as members to start pushing this way, trying to sneak in some other thing to spoil the process. Let's concentrate on what we have done before this time. Let's not come up with experts to try. I don't know, man, what to say, really. This is mind-boggling, and it's not good. We are honorable members, not exec members. Thank you.
You know, maybe a way to deal with it is maybe to include on the item on a 6-10, briefing to committees, just to indicate that there was briefings made on high-profile cases to the committee, because that encapsulated three cases that Honorable Karabana referred to. So that maybe can take it forward, and that we maybe then stay with the AG reports and AG notes as proposed, and then maybe on the briefings to the committee, maybe highlight the issue of high-profile cases. Would that help as we can make progress in terms of the timelines? Thank you, colleagues. Then we add committee reports, 6-9. Is there any input with regard to findings of committee reports? Honourable Ramatakani.
On the committee report, I think earlier on we did say that the findings that we have, particularly reference to the RRR, finding is that there were a number of concerns and misstatements on the, particularly around the accruals, the expenditure rates and vacancy level, that that not all the targets, the yearly targets were met. That would be the point on that.
Any other colleague on this? Colleagues, let's just...
That's the attitude, that's what's been the attitude since the moment we started this.
Colleagues,
this
let's...
Not the committee,
colleagues,
I'm
let's
no,
just...
not longer than most of you. You're a disgrace.
Colleagues, let's just keep it civil. No, please, colleagues, no. Let's not entertain that. Let's go to our work. Right, colleagues, then we... Is there anything you want to add to committee reports? Anything else? Right, then we come to the point 6-10, briefings to committee. Is there any specific proposals in terms of findings?
reflect that findings that the IPED gave the committee briefing from time to time. I think every time we have called on them to appear, they did come to give us a briefing on those matters that took concern. When we were asking for them to appear to report on the problems that have been identified by the AG, they appeared before the committee. So I think we should say that they like to come and give the report.
Maybe we need to include also the issue raised by Lobakola Barnard, the issue that there was also high profile cases or matters that in the public domain also given to the committee. We can also include that to address that issue. Anything else on that matter, honourable members? Then we come to the IPED Amendment Act 611. Thank you.
No, Chair, I think on the issue about the amendment, in the observation, we have observed the failure, I think, by both IPED and Secretariat. So I think the finding is that our finding is that there was a really lapses insofar as the agency to do the necessary amendment as directed by the Constitutional Court. Because I think we're dealing with the Constitutional Court. I think that's the finding we have. I don't know if you want to, that's given, the finding around that the bridging, we have to be, to bridge the gap as a committee about the amendment because of the failure. I don't know what I want us to say that, but I think I would stay with the one that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I think indicated in the one other finding previously that there should be a major amendment of the current act. So we have that. Colleagues, anything else you want to add under the IPED Amendment Act? Right, colleagues, then we move to 612, the application for SAFS posts. Thank you, Honourable Robert Lacone.
No, thank you, Chair. I think on the finding here is that our finding that it is correct that ED did apply for both the DPCR and CI. And number two, that ED has motivated the reason for the application. So we otherwise the finding here is that we did have this find that there was a motivation. Because that came, I think, on the letter of last night, that motivational letter why. So I think we could say that, and that we find that the application, when it was submitted, ED was still ahead, or the contract was still in place.
Right, thank you. Any other input with regard to this point, colleagues? The issue of the application for SAFS posts? Is that that? Can we then move to the issue of security clearance in 613? Is Honourable Robert Akani, thank you.
Okay, yes, thank you. On the 613, I think the finding here is that the security clearance of ED has lapsed, and the November 2018, and that the finding is that the SSA is in the process of the rebating process. And we came also on the finding that the still declares duration is 5 years. I think that's a finding that we all know it's like that. So those are the three parts of the security clearance.
Colleagues, anything else on the security, anything else on the security clearance issue? Honourable Market.
Chairperson, maybe if we could just add that the fact that it has lapsed is corroborated by FSA.
Okay, is that fine? Members? Alright, thank you. Can we move then to the next point, 614, the Public Service Commission letter? Thank you. Honourable Rahman Takani, thank you.
The letter from the Public Service Commission, is that the one? Yeah. I think the finding on here, Honourable Chair, that is the finding that there was a, I'm trying to find a term that is not, but the fact is that there was a violation. The finding that there was a violation of the transfer policy, or if you like the media in the middle term, you can say a breach. I don't know. This is not English. That's why the people will talk English. Or a breach. We tried earlier to say we need to stay closer to the letter. That I have no problem with that, Chair. That we can find that. And that we'll find that in terms of that letter, there was also non-adherence on the provision of 33.1 of the Constitution. And we find that as well that in terms of that conclusion that there was also the Harassment Act provision that was violated. So those are the things around the public service. In terms of the, we find that as well that the security clearance of Sohar was cancelled. That's the finding that we have, and we also the finding that the SSA there is a process of reinstituting the security clearance. I don't know whether I can, or reinstating the security clearance. That's around the letter of Public Service Commission.
Thank you. Any other member on this issue? Honourable Willie, thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I think only thing from my side is just to echo and emphasize the point that we stick to the wording in the letter. So I think it may be useful for the drafters just to make reference to that. Yeah.
No, that's quite critical. We can't read words in or state anything that is not for us. That is quite critical. And I agree with you, Honourable Bailey. Thank you for that. Colleagues, anything on PC letter? I think we dealt with that. Then we come to the Executive Authority Accounting Officer Governance Framework, and maybe we can also take the trust relationship Executive Authority Accounting Officer as part of the same, or maybe in the report as one topic, because I think we debated those two issues both at the same time during the 2 days, but members, with you, your assessment and your findings on that issue. Thank you. Honourable Ram Takani.
On this one, the Executive Authority 15 and 16, I think the finding that we should have is that the IPED, in terms of the Act, it is regarded as one of government department. So it's a department that has to monthly report to the minister. So here we find that has been lacking. In other words, the reporting to the executing authority has been lacking or close to absent. We find that the perception of okay, let me rephrase that. We find the relationship between the executing authority and the director, there is a loss of trust, and the relationship is broken down. And I don't want to say that, but I think when we look at, I think we did say observation, the tone of all the conversation between demonstrate that, and the tone of the last letter of interference again demonstrate that it's a breakdown of trust. So we do find that there is a trust is broken down between the executive authority as well as the minister.
Ramlakhani, maybe the first point you made, I think there's not proof before the committee. Maybe you must phrase it differently. You indicated that you said there's a lack of reporting by the ED to the executive authority. Now, we don't got any affirmation for us that proves that. I mean, what we maybe can indicate is there is, in terms of the IFAD Act, responsibilities and duties for the ED to report to the minister, its obligation. But in terms of making a general finding, we don't got any information, unless there's papers that I haven't read.
I accept your correction, sir. So I will live with your summary that we find that it's instructive in terms of the IFAD Act for the reporting to the minister by the executive authority in terms of IFAD. I think I would agree with that. So we find that it must happen, because that's what the law says, it must happen. So we're not going to pass the judgment paper whether it didn't happen or not. In this case, I think that's what we find. I think that when we were talking about this, there was a section that I relied on, the seven responsibility, and I said 4, 5, and 6 that I relied on in terms of specifying a particular area of work, what must happen on it. I will keep referring to the doctor finding in terms of that. If you agree with me, sir, I accept your correction. I'm guilty as charged.
Other issues on the trust relationship, Honourable Mafi, and then Honourable Bailey, thank you.
No, I just want to be reminded that
just a microphone.
Besides this finding, how many do we have here on this issue? How many findings?
In terms of the act, 53. We said we. I don't know, it's 3. I don't know, I can't do because I'm
going. You can also complete the problem.
No, I was thinking about the breakdown in trust. Is it there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The one recommendation is, finding is that IFAD is the government department, has to report to the minister. The second thing is this obligation and duties of the EED to report in terms of the law. And then the relationship between the executive director and the minister is broken down. Those are the three.
Thank you, Dr. Kines, Honorable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure if I remember Honourable Ramakrishnan is specifically using the term that the relationship had broken down. Maybe I missed it. Maybe he can confirm if that is the term he used. If so, I'm not entirely convinced. I was wanting to firstly say that I was covered by the chairperson's intervention on the assertion of non-compliant reporting, because we don't have evidence of that, and it's not a claim the minister makes in his submission. But I would agree certainly with the finding of low trust. I think the ED makes that quite clear in his submission that he is not trustful of the minister's intentions concerning this renewal issue. And I think I would actually like to add to that, Chair. I would like to add that the relationship, at least as conveyed in the correspondence in January this year, is adversarial and combative. As the Honourable Ramakrishnan said, you can see in the tone. And I think it's important to reflect that, because as Honourable Kola Barnard made the point a few times, there's no obligation for a lovey-dovey bromance. In fact, let me withdraw that, because the ED won't always be a man. There's no obligation for a lovey-dovey sort of kumbaya relationship between the ED and the minister. And secondly, as I argued, it could at times actually be a good thing for there to be that adversarial combativeness if a minister at the time is trying to interfere in the IPIT, and therefore the ED would have to be combative and adversarial to defend that independence. So I think I would like to add more adjectives to that description of describing the trust relationship, that the combativeness and the adversarialness is just evidence, and it is a fair finding by the committee. Yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Marking and Honourable Ramakrishnan. Thank you,
Honourable Chairperson. I think that is an observation, what Honourable Ferrer is saying. And maybe if you could say what should be the finding. That's what you observed.
I'm happy for it to be an observation, Chair. I was basically finding along the lines of the first inputs, that the relationship is characterized by low trust, and so I'm adding that it's also characterized by an adversarial and combative dynamic and tone.
For the observation of the market?
So there can be a fine.
Come again?
I'm saying sure it can be a fine. But if it fits in there, I wouldn't have a problem.
No, I think his observation is valid. I don't think there's a problem with that. If Honourable Bailey will accept it, then we'll calculate the observations. Is that fine? Okay, so what is fine?
Well, Chair, I think that it is an observation and a finding, because, as you say, the tone of the correspondence is quite combative. So, and the lovey-dovey, you withdrawn that. I was just worried for this.
No, I only withdrew bromance, because it won't always be a male minister and ED. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, Chair, I wanted to say that If you didn't mention it in the observation, maybe we should observe obviously in the findings, because we do find that that relationship, in fact, is written in black and white about the trust issue. But the other part, unless I wanted to persuade the Honourable Better to drop that, the issue about the whole thing about not trusting in terms of investigation. Remember, in terms of the Act, there is prohibition for interference with the investigation of anything. So I want to say that if the allegation about that interference is true, there is always going to be the route that anybody can open a case against someone who says, you shall not arrest Leonard. If that somebody says that, already the person that wants opens the case of defeating the ends of justice and becomes. So there's always a caveat and a protection mechanism that is built in. So I don't think we need to write what you were saying, except to say that tone and the trust relationship. Yeah. Okay.
It was commentary after that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Finally, in the first part, yeah.
Right.
No, thank you, members. We're making progress. Colleagues, anything else on the trust relationship, executive authority, accounting officer? I thought you wanted to speak.
Oh,
any other member? Members covered. Right, can we then move on to the point? I mean, we're taking 615 and 616 together. Can we move to the public protective investigation 617?
So on the, I think we did in the observation make reference that there are serious allegations that is the allegation that is presented to a public protector. I think on the finding we should find that based on the public protector letter notifying the minister that there are serious allegations that are leveled that need to be investigated by the public protector. I think we should make that point. And that the second point that we need to make on that is I know that there was this word that was used, a preliminary, but I think Honorable Mbele, in reading the sentence or the paragraph, then clarified that actually there was no word called preliminary. The public protector was saying, give one this information for purpose of investigation. So I think that we could say that on that issue that there is that. And then I think we should, I don't know how to deal with this, but let me put it, because it's overlapping, or maybe I could also leave it because we've already spoken about Public Service Commission. But I do think that we could say that there was, without isolating individual claim in the allegation, the dossier of kind of over-investigation. So I'm happy to leave it at that, that we find that there is going to be that investigation.
Right, members, that is the PP investigation. Then we move to 619, the independence of IPIS, and I hope Mr. Honorable Malky is not going to ask me what it means for the third time. But members is very much welcome to give input on that. Thank you. I think we, maybe from the chair side, I think we must recognize that in terms of the Constitution, there is a certain state that's given to open to do independent investigations. I think it's important that we note that.
I think we should have a finding that that find that the iPad is in terms of the ruling of the Constitutional Court is functioning independently from the interference. Because there is no single case of the interference that has been presented to the committee. So I think we should say, for the matter of fact, that in the last 4 years we don't have any of that. So it does function like that, as an independent. The fact that it's functioning like that in terms of its investigation, there's no interference, police don't interfere, the minister don't interfere. Again, in terms of the effect, it is operating like that. Other than that, Chair, in terms of anything else, I don't think that we can even talk about the state of the future. I think we're stating the fact that I would leave it like that without necessarily even having to refer to it's not a chapter 9, because I think it is not a chapter 9. The finding that it is not a chapter 9 institution, I think we should say, for purpose of clarity, it is not a chapter 9 institution. We're repeating ourselves, the part department of government, like you said earlier.
Thank you, Honourable Sonia. Thank you, Chair. It's self-evident that IPRIT is not a Chapter 9 institution, so there's no contestation there. I would like to contest, however, if I heard the Honourable Ramatakana correctly, the statements that, especially with reference to whether or not the committee had received reports of such, that there's been no interference in the IPRIT from SAPS or the minister, because we definitely have had reports from the ED that this issue of a retaliatory investigations from a certain SAPS unit that came to be called the Mabula Hit Squad was a very serious issue facing the IPRIT, and then of course there was the saga that ensued from March 2015 around whether or not the minister's discretionary power at the time to suspend the ED amounted to undue interference. So I think it's not true, and I would contest that there hasn't been any of that in the past. And then as a third finding is, I guess, to echo a point I made earlier on, but from the other side, which is to say that in terms of the independence of the IPRIT over the past, almost 4 years, that independence structurally and operationally has been strengthened and reinforced through the series of court rulings obtained around the need for the amendment of the IPRIT Act and the invalidation of the Public Service Act and other regulations to the ED, and then of course the rulings concerning SAPS investigations into IPRIT investigators who are investigating them, you know, that whole issue, as well as also upholding the rights of the IPRIT to obtain classified documents, although actually I'm not sure if that would have been granted yet, but anyway, the fact is that IPRIT independence has been reinforced and strengthened over the years as a finding of the committee.
Thank you,
thank you, Sir President. I should think the mention of the Concord ruling, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But is it a finding? Or do we simply say strengthened? I wouldn't have a problem in showing the independence. We can even say we can quote the Concord. I would be fine.
Yeah, and also maybe issue that observation.
Yeah.
In effect.
Yeah.
If you so let's draft this, let's park it then under the observation. And thank you for that. Is on Ramatakani.
Okay, I also don't want to start a huge discussion with Honorable Bell on this one, trying to find a way to middle road where we meet on this. Because the interference that we're talking about here in relation is between the minister and the head of IPED. That's what we are trying to say. So far, we don't disagree with the one that we talked about with the Asani. There was a problem there of that counter investigation, and the committee did take a resolution on that. In fact, we did make a strong call that it is completely wrong. It's actually it's an interference that borders on the you know, the people interfering with the. But let me leave it there because I think we agree with that. But the reference here is confined to the minister. And even if we're looking further, we're saying current minister, we're looking backward, we're saying there's no evidence that each one of them has interfered with the investigation of corruption. So that's what I'm saying, that we try and confine it and not open it up. That's why I'm saying we maybe just try and talk about it before we make a point. Because there's a difference between what the other minister did in terms of the suspension. That basically is another issue that is on the line of what you call it, DC or disagreement around that, which is always allowed to happen. But as to whether that was, it had to do with other allegations as well, that one. So I would want to ask that maybe if we were to agree in terms of the political office bearers interference, that we don't have a case like that we can make reference to, that we can say it has been interference, political interference, if you like. Because I think this is what the Constitutional Court method of dealing with the political interference and how to ring fence that protect it from the interference. That's why the 7-year term comes into, so that there is nobody who's begging for contract. And so maybe when I raised my hand earlier, I was thinking to that in under this part, whether there's no value in a notice of deviation in writing something about the fact that this one-term issue in furthering this discussion that we need to look at the six parliament must rather look at maybe that recommendation earlier that we spoke about. So we flag it, we find a space in the document where we're going to be able to specify, because to overcome all of these things is that what the Constitutional Court says, one term, and if it's 7 years, 7 years for outline public contestant. Maybe that will be a solution going forward. Maybe if it becomes one of the recommendations, which is not so much about finding. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that, colleagues. Is there anything else on the independence? And I'm not looking towards on the market for further input. Can we then, if Honourable...
I think just as a brief response to indicate that if the finding is that precisely worded, that there's no evidence of political interference or ministerial interference in IPED investigations, I'm happy to go with that. I was just responding to a broader statement that was made that there's been no interference in the IPED, as I've heard it at least. Yeah.
Thank you for that, Honourable Member. Colleagues, anything else? Then we go to 6:20, the issue that we also discussed this morning, the 2 days, the current political context. There were strong views on that. So let's get the proposal on that. Thank you. A finding, all findings. I mean, interested in trying.
I think the observation had to do with the kind of recognizing the current situation, the water conditions and so on. So I think on the I don't know what we're going to find on that, except to say that our finding is that there is a commission of inquiry that is open for anybody to be called or to voluntarily go and provide information that it doesn't sound like a finding to me as I'm talking right now. I don't know what the finding is. Let me reserve my right on that now for finding. I don't know what we find on this.
No, I think the material point raised by members early was in terms of the papers, the movement was made that due to the whole political situation and investigations, there should be continuation in terms of the renewal issue. So that, I mean, for our purpose, that's our focus. I just want to get your views on that. Honourable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will maintain what I said earlier. If there's any finding in relation to that, I would say that is not our territory. That is what we found. It's not our business.
Thank you, Honourable Mark. Honourable Bennett.
Thank you, Chair. I know I was the first one to start driving this issue from yesterday, so I am quite invested in this. And I'd like to propose a committee finding that says the committee finds that there is a vested interest in maintaining the independence and effectiveness of the IPED in light of ongoing revelations about past corruption and state capture. And I'll leave it at that, because I know if I make it about leadership transition, I'm going to open a whole hornet's nest. But there is a vested interest that the committee upholds strongly to maintain the independence and effectiveness of the IFED in light of corruption and state capture allegations, revelations.
Thank you.
No, Chair, I think on that it's probably not a finding. It may well be just a way of conclusion of putting the report together, because it can't be a finding like that, just an interest. There is no such evidence on the table except what the head of asset suggests, that they may well be appointment or information to appoint the friends or whatever, but it's untested. It's an allegation that is made with authority that it's really not there. So I think maybe what we can do, we can find a conclusion about our wish about strengthening the IPED going forward as the one vehicle that actually root out corruption in as an oversight body for the police. I think we must find a conclusion that pulls that together rather than to maybe the finding, because it's going to be very difficult for a finding on that. I would like to suggest to be a conclusion which we can sponsor and agree what the wording is on that, that is not apportioning any of what we don't know, because I'm not really on what the executive director has. So I can't hold what he is saying if I'm not canvassed and I agree with that view. Nor can we ask the committee to do that. I think it will be stretching too much of the committee to do so. That will be my suggestion. Maybe we can look at, I don't know what you use, Chair, but maybe a conclusion. It may well be its conclusion before we actually go and to look at a holistic take on the report. So I would rather not suggest that.
It's just unfortunate that as a committee we do not want to agree with what the whip of this committee is saying, because really this thing has got nothing to do with us. This is not our territory, and I don't even understand what is it that we precisely want to achieve on this, because this is far beyond our territory. Here we are dealing with, we are a committee that is dealing with the mandate given to us. This last thing is irrelevant as of now and forever in the committee, unless if there are changes of our mandate according to MA rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable Bailey, then Honourable Markey and Honourable Mamula. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I might have miscommunicated in using the word vested, because it sounded like I was speaking to a partisan interest. Let me reword it this way. It remains in the public interest for the independence and effectiveness of the IPID to be maintained. So I think that's really what I mean, is that there is a strong public interest given the larger context, call it political or otherwise, around revelations of state capture and corruption that makes the independence of the IPID vital, something that we can't that shouldn't be compromised. So I would substitute vested interest for public interest, but then it flows into the fact that it should be maintained given that larger picture, larger context of the state capture revelations.
Honourable Mark.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think if we take the Zondo Commission out and take what Honorable Mbele is saying, that would be a very nice concluding statement. The Zondo out, because the ED is still going to go there. At least if he had said something already about the police, which is his area of work as of now, maybe you could comment. But he's still going there, he would explain it to the whole of South Africa, but it's not relevant here. But I would take that statement as the very last statement that we put in the report, and maybe even put some exclamation marks after it. Thank you.
Mr. Omaki, Omar Kubula.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm with Honorable Omaki, because the EP is not a politician. He is an administrator, so we can't put it on this report.
Right, honourable members, can we proceed? Then the issue of the cash flow and the renewal of the contracts, I think we referred to that issue, honourable Ramatakani, that we maybe have a small, as a recommendation, I mean, it is future music. So, I mean, it's just for your observation from the committee side that we note in the case law on institutions of similar state, you know, in terms of the term limitation at this stage. I mean, colleagues, that is in broad the findings category. findings before we come to the broader direction that we must give to the drafters? Any other issues, any other findings that members want to put on the table?
Chair, I have no other findings, but I just like your direction on how we're planning to handle, if at all, the issue of recommendations. I'm not sure if this is a kind of committee report, but it contained recommendations. But I think what's been useful about our deliberations over the last 2 days is that it surfaced gaps and issues that hadn't been encountered or thought of before, but that we can now say, oh, this gap needs to be plugged, that change needs to be made, or that issue needs to be made more explicit. So as we were going through today's process, point by point, I've just got a list of 7 recommendations that relates to these issues that I would have liked at some point to ventilate, but I'm not sure if we're going to have recommendations run through quickly. Hopefully it can go quickly without having to do the boom, boom, boom like last time.
Can we maybe at this stage just take a 10-minute break, comfort break, and then we come back to that issue. 10 minutes. Thank you, members.
Hi, this is taking us on holiday. He's taking us on holiday.
Who? When?
When we adopt the report.
Maybe. I might be the one who won that 200 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, guys. That person was from Cape Town, eh?
Attention normally gets you just here.
Yeah.
Is it better?
I'm so worried, okay.
I'm going to get started well for you. I'm not worried this morning. I wasn't. There was nothing.
Are they broadcasting it on 4H?
Yes, but I don't know who's in charge of sound and tech for this room. But the sound is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I like to stick my earphones like down my throat to you. It's so bad.
I
no, but I've got some NA as well, so fine.
Zinzinzi, pilulu njani, uselapha, ihamba ngoku, kuthi ungasalele ndumama umoya.
Indulging my request, and I was adding to the time frame. So as I said, it's 7 recommendations, one or two of which have already been raised and discussed by members. So, and I'll state them as they relate to the relevant items in the 20-point list we've been working with for the last 2 days. The first recommendation relates to the points that read IPED Acts and IPED Amendment Acts, because it's the same thing. Nothing new is that we recommend that the IPED Acts must be amended to extend the ED's term to 7 years and make it non-renewable. I think that'll clarify the kind of ambiguity that has brought us here. And then as an additional point that I know has not come up in our discussions, but I think it's a value add, referencing from the Civilian Secretariat Act, is that it's an amendment that also makes it a stipulation that the ED must not be a member or former member of the police service. Because there's currently a requirement that the Secretary of Police is not a member or former member of the police, and that just assists with having that proper separation between those who oversee and investigate the police and the police service. My second recommendation flows from the points on the appointment letter. And it's a recommendation that any future appointment letters for the ED must outline a specific process leading up to renewal. And that's prior to the amendments proposed above is made. So that there is mutual understanding and expectations between the two parties of how that should be handled. My third recommendation relates to the issue of performance.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Sir,
There isn't one in four, but I mean, let's give an opportunity to listen. I don't know, it's fine. Let's answer. Yeah, it's welcome.
I think the
7 years and then the renewable issue that you're raising now. Yeah, but I understand,
yes,
but you're welcome to raise it. Let's just...
Maybe to clarify, it's to say that until that amendment is made for a non-renewable seven-year term, the provision in the appointment letter must then have a clear process for renewal. Yeah. So once that amendment is made, then this would become irrelevant. Third recommendation relating to performance agreements and assessments, I'd like to table a recommendation that future police portfolio committees must require an annual submission of performance agreements and assessments by the ED for oversight purposes. That way, a committee is not catching this kind of issue 4 years down the line. But on an annual basis, we can check, okay, is there compliance? And then it can be properly interrogated. Fourth recommendation on the point about the application for SAPS posts. I would like to table a recommendation that future EDs are to be discouraged from applying for SAPS leadership posts mid-term. Until and unless a prohibition in statute is implemented. It just helps to avoid questions. You know, you're meant to be investigating the police and now you go to the police, and I think it'll ease much anxiety around that. My fifth recommendation around security clearance, similar to the performance agreement one, is that the ED must give an annual report to the Police Portfolio Committee about the status of his or her security clearance, including impending expiry and actions they've undertaken to apply timeously for revetting. That way we have that year-on-year up-to-date picture of are they still valid, is it going to expire soon? If it is going to, have they applied timeously so that if it comes up that it has lapsed, the committee already knows that the revetting process has been reinitiated. On the issue of the executive authority and accounting officer governance framework and the relationship, I'd like to recommend that the portfolio committee encourages both on the one hand, compliant reporting to the minister on the part of the ED, and secondly, responsiveness to the ED on the part of the minister to correspondence and requests for meetings that are sent to the minister. And then finally, when it comes to the point about the public protector investigation, a recommendation that the ED should report to the Police Portfolio Committee whenever he or she is the subject of a Chapter 9 investigation, as well as encouraging that such investigations are speedily concluded in order to preserve the public perception of the IPLIT's integrity. I'm happy to send that in an email.
Thank you, Olivella. I think we note that. Thank you very much for your effort there. I think it will be valuable. Then we're not going to discuss those, it's for noting, and then we can then tomorrow when we reconvene, you know, consider that as part of the recommendations. Other members on this broad recommendations or issues they will still want to put on the table, Honourable Malke?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not very sure whether I'm discussing these things, but I agree totally. Just a question on the performance committed to the police committee. Wouldn't that maybe need change in some act and amendment?
I don't want to cycle to that, but my view is we give members opportunity. We're not going to debate now on the merits, because I think Honourable Bailey didn't include it, mostly legally qualified person and so on. He didn't say that. we'll give all members an opportunity. So is there anything else that you want to add? Honourable Ramatlakane.
No, Chair, I think the earlier on when we were talking about Section 1 recommendation, the point was how do we align this iPad with the previous ruling around the 110 non-renewable, and I think that has been covered already. So I don't really have a recommendation because I don't think at this stage I can think of additional recommendation after this marathon. But I do want to say we're not discussing it. The second comment by Honourable Mbele, we'll probably have to check the constitutionality of a provision like that. There's a what exclusion? Exclusionary provision for non-participation or non... I think he said future EDs must not apply or must not be a police officer, no relationship with the police, something like that. So I think we need to check its constitutionality and whether it's permissible to have a provision like that. I'm not discussing it, but I think the legal brains in the room could help us tomorrow when we fully finalize some of this report. But I'll just leave it there, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I think we have come to the end of this discussion. We will then give an opportunity to the drafting team overnight to get the draft ready so that we then can consider the findings. Remember that we agreed that we will put all the findings in one basket, and then tomorrow when we look at the draft before then deciding what findings would stay, amendments, finding tuning and so on. Then of course the issue of recommendations, and then the question of conclusion, and then dealing with the issue that is before us, the renewal, non-renewal, based on our input discussions as well as the various discussions. I want to thank all the members and also the staff, the legal section, and everybody who stayed very late. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. What is the venue? Yeah, it's not a good venue, but it's room 390 Plain Street. Room 390 Plain Street. If we can just maybe send also the necessary communication to all members. I'm with it. Yeah, I think let's give the Secretary the opportunity to just finalize that venue. Provisionally, it's 90 Plain Street, room 3, and then we will then reconvene tomorrow. Thank you very much.
It's just to indicate that because Honourable Caller Bonner and I have not yet obtained whippery leave from caucus, I can't guarantee when or what time we can make it, but we'll update through communication with you or the secretary. Yeah.
I appreciate that. I think there's also other parties caucus tomorrow, women's caucus and so on, but we really want to call on members to talk to the relevant whips. This is a priority matter. We've set with the deadline, so we need to ensure that we deal with it. That's